Believe that anything is possible. I'm Amy. I used to be riddled with self-doubt and had a bad case of imposter syndrome. Now I'm cured. So cured that I found the guts to walk away from my 25-year career. Tune in week after week as I share how to find your keys to courage. Believe. It's the key to everything. If you've listened to my podcast before now, you've heard time after time that I finally had the guts to walk away from my 25-year career. You may or may not know the story behind that. So today, I'm going to share why I quit. I want to preface this story now that I'm a year removed from quitting. This was in the spring of 2018. At the time, it was very upsetting. I went home many nights in tears, not understanding why this was happening. Now, just like with every struggle, every challenge, every dark place in my life, I realized that this was a gift. It was a gift in disguise. It was the universe telling me to go, to pivot, and to move. I don't have any hard feelings. I have lots of empathy for the people involved in the story. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name schools this involved. But I am going to share my truth. I started teaching elementary school when I was 21. And for 9 years, that was the job that lit me up from the inside out. It was my soul's purpose. I was living my soul's purpose. I got into consulting during that time when I was teaching. I got into leading workshops at schools. And I also got into coaching. I was trained in cognitive coaching. I worked one-on-one with hundreds of new teachers for 17 years. That was the last part of my career. I even ended up coaching coaches and going on leadership trips with the leadership team in the coaching group. The last year that I was a new teacher coach, one of the new teachers that I was assigned to work with was named Emily. And because I don't believe in coincidences, I believe in synchronicities. Emily was my kindergarten student 20 years ago. Part of what I did as a new teacher coach was work with the new teacher and their administrator closely to make sure that the new teacher was reaching the California standards for the teaching profession. I worked as a mentor, not as an evaluator. I was a confidant for the new teachers. They could tell me things that they might not be comfortable telling their principals or vice principals. I was a safe space for them. I was in a leadership role, but I wasn't so far removed from the trenches. I still knew, I still had empathy for the day-to-day of what teachers go through. It's not always filling out the forms. A lot of times I had to be that person to listen. I would be there as they were crying about a child that was taken away from the home for CPS or a parent that came in yelling at them. I understood what the day-to-day in teaching entailed. So I was thrilled to be able to mentor Emily, my former kindergarten student. The year got off to an odd start. The first meeting with Emily and her vice principal, I got a weird vibe. In my 17 years of coaching, I had nothing but a stellar reputation. It was often that I would have an admin find me on campus, say, "Hey, Amy, let's do an observation together," ask when I was going to be on campus. They were always happy to see me. I brought a positive attitude and a positive vibe to every campus I was on. This particular VP did not get that vibe. From day one, something in my intuition said that something was off with this guy. Fast forward a little bit into the school year, Emily had her first formal observation by her admin, and she did fairly well. But then shortly after, things started to change. He would tell her things like, "You talk too loud." In meetings, he told her that she didn't smile enough. He said that she was a rookie and that she needed to act like one. And she would confide these things into me. And I asked her if she wanted me to meet with him. And she told me that she didn't, because in California, you can get let go your first 2 years for any reason. So if he didn't like the fact that she was telling me these things, in effect, he could let her go. So I didn't go to him with this, but I did go to my immediate supervisor. And I told her, you know, these things are just strange. She's telling her that she's a rookie and she needs to act like it. You know, what can I do to support her as her coach? And the advice from my supervisor, a female supervisor in the year 2018, was to have her look for another job. Honestly, I thought that advice was asinine. And my husband works for a Fortune 250. He works for Henry Schein Dental, a dental equipment company. And he kept telling me as I was relaying these stories to him that in his industry, you know, this was a hostile work environment. You couldn't corner a coworker and tell them that they were a rookie and they needed to act like it. So I wasn't really sure what to do. I went back to Emily and told her what my supervisor recommended. And Emily, you know, the sad thing was she loved everything about this school. It was a Title I school, which means there were a lot of underprivileged kids. She loved the kids. She loved the impact she was making. She loved the teachers that she worked with. It was just this admin. So fast forward a little more, and she had another observation. A formal observation. I was in her classroom every week. Very common. I did a lot of observations and gave her a lot of feedback. Feedback that she could use to improve her teaching. I'm sitting in her classroom and this vice principal walks in. He looks at me. He walks up to Emily. He whispers something in her ear and he walks out of the room. My stomach dropped. Nothing like this had ever happened to me. And with all of the previous things, I just felt that something was up. I went up to her when there was a break in her lesson and asked her what he said. And she said that he told her if I was in the room, he wasn't going to observe her. Again, that made me feel sick. But because she didn't want me to say anything to him, I didn't. A few days later, Emily had her observation with her VP. And to no surprise, she got really low scores on that observation. And they were totally unfounded. One of the areas that she got the lowest score possible in was creating a safe classroom environment. Emily created an amazing classroom environment. She was that teacher that you wanted your kids to have. She cared about each and every child that she taught. She celebrated birthdays. She celebrated kids that did kind things. She had a kindness box in the back of her classroom. And when kids saw other kids doing something awesome, they wrote it down on a piece of paper and put it into the box. And then Emily would give them shout outs throughout the week. She also had an after school program that she created where she would do girls' hair for events, like dances, like sporting events, if they didn't have anybody to do a nice hairstyle for them. She was a teacher that cared. So to get a low score on a safe classroom environment was total and absolute BS. This guy had something out for her. And he didn't like me as a parent to him walking out of the room that I was in. So I'd already called my supervisor. It was time for me to call my supervisor's supervisor, who was a woman that I had admired. We'd actually gone out and had a glass of wine together before. We had dinner before, our husbands and us. so I thought for sure that she would have some helpful advice. I told her that I called her up. I said I needed to talk to this guy, but I didn't feel comfortable talking to him alone because he lied on her observation. He was telling her things in private with nobody else around that weren't appropriate. And he walked out of the room that I was in and said he wouldn't observe her with me there. All of these things made me feel very uncomfortable. I asked if she would go with me to a meeting or the other supervisor, or if I could just have one of my peers, another coach, come with me, just so I had another set of eyes and ears so that this guy couldn't make something up. And my supervisor, this woman that I had admired, she told me no. She said that wasn't an option. And honestly, my heart broke. At that point, I just felt that I wasn't sure that this was a job that I was going to be able to do much longer. That was not leading with integrity. This was 2018. If a woman comes to you with grounds for needing help, you need to give her help. And for this to be a female supervisor at that, it just didn't make any sense. So I asked her what she wanted me to do. I said I needed to do something and I was not going to meet with him alone. She told me to email him. So that night, I crafted a very professional email. I said, "Dear Mr. So-and-so, I saw Emily's observation and you scored her in the bottom category in multiple areas. As her coach, I want to help her get to where you want her to be in these teaching standards. Please let me know what I can work on with her to get her to that place that you want her to be. Let me know if you want to call me or just email me. Either way works for me." And I signed it off and I sent it. The next morning, Emily, my new teacher, she called me sobbing. She was let go. And at that point, I knew that I was done. That this career that for 25 years was my soul's purpose, teaching children and then teaching teachers by coaching them, that I, with the leadership that was in place, could not do my job anymore. And so a couple weeks later at my meeting, I told my supervisor on my way out that I would not be returning for the next school year. And I walked out of that room with my head held high and my heart was light. I had no idea what other job I was going to do. I had 3 college degrees in education. This was all I knew. I had my undergrad, I had a teaching credential, and I had a master's degree in curriculum design. But I knew in my soul that I couldn't do this any longer. About a week after I quit, I've talked about those whispers in your soul. I had a whisper. It was telling me to share this story. It was telling me to make a video. Not to share names, not to share places. This wasn't a video to shame, but it was a video to share my truth. I also knew that if I did a video, and I was going to put it on my personal Facebook page, where I had a lot of educators as connections, I knew that once I posted this video, that was, in essence, burning the ships. There was going to be no going back to education. There was going to be no year sabbatical, and then I could step back into coaching. And I heard the whisper multiple times. Now, I hear those whispers and I think they're signs from God. I think it's God whispering to our souls. I do. And so shaking and feeling like I wanted to throw up, I had my daughter video me, because part of the reason why I quit was that I saw my daughter in Emily. My daughter's 16. She's not too many years away from the workforce. And I thought, how would I feel if she had people around her that didn't stand up for her, that saw this stuff going on and just stayed silent, that didn't sit well with me? And so not only did I quit for Emily, I quit for my daughter. And so I had her record this video. I wanted her to know the story, and I wanted her to know that staying silent wasn't an option for her mom. And I posted that video that I was trembling and shaking to Facebook. And in my little corner of the world, it went viral. I think I had 40 shares. I had over 4,000 views. And I had teachers from every school around saying, everybody at my school saw your video. Brave of you to share this. I also have an administrator that's horrible, but there's nothing I can do. I heard story after story. I heard from people across the country that had similar stories, but they just weren't brave enough to speak up. I shared my story because I needed to speak my truth. It was a step in finding my voice and my confidence and going from being the good girl and not wanting to rock the boat to being somewhat of a ruckus causer, as Seth Godin calls them. This happened to me. This happened to Emily. I needed to share it. And I wanted to share why I was quitting after 25 years. That was the best decision that I have made in a long time. That set me free. It set me free to be able to use those gifts that I didn't even really know that I had and translate them into other areas of my life. So I took that coaching, those thousands of hours of experience, those hundreds of hours of training, coaching and education, and now I'm coaching in business. I am a coach at a multiple seven-figure pediatric dental practice. I coach the owner, Dr. Joelle Speed. I knew her vision, and I knew that her practice as it was, wasn't her vision. And I worked with her on what she needed to do to get there. I worked with the team on what they needed to do to get there. In less than a year, we've transformed the culture at that practice. And every single woman that works there, when they were interviewed for a show that I did recently, they said that not only did I change their lives at work, I've changed their lives at home. Every single one of them. I've helped change their lives of their relationships with their children, with their friendships, and with their spouses. Some of them are even getting divorced because they've found their voice and they found their worth. So me walking away from that job was just God telling me that there was a bigger plan. At the time, I was angry. I was upset. I felt that it was unjust and unfair. Now I have empathy for all of those players involved, especially that vice principal. He was a leader that led with power and title alone. He didn't have empathy. And he, quite honestly, I don't think he believed in himself. He could probably do good from listening to my podcast. The other leaders, I'm not quite sure why they didn't have my back and why they didn't have the back of a brand new teacher. They both have daughters. I know one of them marches in women's marches. What I know we need to do, ladies, is stop marching in marches and start walking the walk. Support women at work when they come to you with situations like mine. I wasn't asking for much. I was asking for another body to accompany me to a meeting. Was it a sexual harassment issue? No. But was it a harassment issue? Was I working in a hostile environment, having a man walk out of a room I was in that I was supposed to work in and saying that he wouldn't be in a room I was in? That is absolutely a hostile work environment. Hands down, end of story, period. We need to do better. We need to use our voices. We need to protect others. We need to stop saying that this is just how things are. Every single peer that I worked with, when I told them this story, they just kind of shrugged. Well, I think we need to stop shrugging this stuff off. If you have kids, they're going into the workforce. Do you want them treated this way? Do you want everybody to say, oh, that's just how it is? Or do you want to disrupt, make a change, be the voice, stand up for what you see is wrong? I think if more people were brave like me, the change would start to be made, that these people wouldn't be allowed to lead with power. So that's a story about why I walked away. And like I said, now, a year removed, what a gift that was. It's a gift to Emily too. I helped her find her dream job. She met a soulmate best friend. She had a fabulous principal that saw her value, a fabulous team, parents and students that adored her. It all worked out. It always does. In those dark times, maybe you're going through one now. Emily was in a dark time. She was crying. I had many nights of tears. We both didn't understand what was going on. But now, we both see that situation for what it was. It was a situation that we both used for growth. Those dark times are periods of massive, massive growth. So if you're going through a dark time, use this example. Know that your bright light is right around the corner. Use your darkness to find the lessons and find the growth. If you know someone going through a dark time, share this story with them. My life is amazing in unbelievable ways. I'm speaking at conferences on inspiration and joy. I am living out the life of my dreams. And I can tell you, in that job that last year I was in, that was so far from the life of my dreams. It was kind of a deep, dark life. I would never choose to go back there. But I didn't even realize how dark it was. It's almost like you need to have those times to experience the growth, to be able to reflect and look back and see how dark it was. If you found value from this episode or any episode, I have a course on my website, Keys to Courage. It's under courses. It's called Design Your Dream Life. I use the technique that I share in this workbook and this video. It is how I design the life I am living right now. I believe so strongly in this course that if you sign up for it, if you buy it, and if you take it, and if you go through the course step by step like I have laid out, and you find zero value in it, I will give you your money back. Email me and I will give you your money back. I know this course can change the trajectory of your life. It changed mine. Every area of my life, starting with my career, my health, the relationship with my spouse, the relationship with my kids, my parents, and my friendships have all exploded in unbelievable ways because I did the work that I laid out on this workbook in this video for you. I know your dream life is waiting for you, just like it was waiting for me. Don't hesitate. What do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. If you find value, please rate my podcast, please review it, and please, more importantly, share it with a friend. Share it with a friend so we can make courage and confidence spread like wildfire. We need more believers. Believe. It is the key to everything.